Welcome to Music History Monday for December 2nd, 2019. I'm Bob Greenberg, and the title for today's podcast is Turangalila. December 2nd was a great date for world premieres, as well as for one unfortunate and extremely notable exit. Johannes Brahms's Symphony No. 3 received its first performance on December 2nd, 1883, 136 years ago today, in Vienna, where it was performed by the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra under the baton of Hans Richter. On this date in 1949, 70 years ago today, Béla Bartók's Viola Concerto, completed posthumously by Tibor Sherley. Bartók himself had died 4 years earlier in 1945, received its premiere in Minneapolis, where it was performed by the violist William Primrose and the Minneapolis Symphony, conducted by Antal Doráty. We would note the unfortunate exit on December 2nd, 1990, of the composer Aaron Copland. He died at the age of 90 in North Tarrytown, known today as Sleepy Hollow, New York, about 30 miles north of New York City. There's one more premiere to note, which will occupy the remainder of today's post. We mark the premiere in Boston on December 2nd, 1949, the same day as the premiere of Bartók's Viola Concerto, of Olivier Messiaen's Turangalila Symphony by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Bernstein. In my less than humble opinion, the symphony must be numbered among the most thrilling and original works composed during the 20th century, and it will occupy us for 2 days. This Music History Monday post will discuss Messiaen's life and the creation of the symphony. And tomorrow's Dr. Bob Prescribes post, which can be found at patreon.com/RobertGreenbergMusic, will get into the particulars of the piece, which is Messiaen's one and only symphony, and my recommended recording. Olivier Messiaen was born in Avignon, France, on December 10, 1908. His mother, Cécile Sauvage, was a well-respected poet, and his father, Pierre Messiaen, taught English. Among Messiaen père's accomplishments was having translated the complete works of Shakespeare into French. In such a highly cultured household, Olivier's musical precocity was recognized early and carefully cultivated. He began composing at the age of 7. When he was 10 years old, his harmony teacher, Monsieur de Gibbon, gave his precocious young charge a score of the then just deceased Claude Debussy's one and only opera, Pelléas and Mélisande. It was, for Messiaen, a revelation. He later wrote that receiving and then studying the score was, quote, probably the most decisive influence in my life, unquote. Without any doubt, it was Debussy's extraordinary and utterly original treatment of harmony, tonality, and rhythm. Rhythm liberated from a predictable pulse and the tyranny of the bar line that inspired Messiaen to even greater tonal and rhythmic freedoms in his own music. If any single composer can be said to be the successor of Debussy in terms of both musical syntax and sheer originality, it is Olivier Messiaen. The year after he received that oh-so-important score of Pelléas and Mélisande, the 11-year-old Messiaen entered the Paris Conservatory. He put the place on its ear. Truly, I have been told that they still talk about him at the conservatory to this day. So amazing was his tenure there. In 1926, at the age of 18, he won first prize in harmony, counterpoint, and fugue. In 1928, he won first prize in piano accompaniment. In 1929, he won first prize in music history. And in 1930, the year he graduated, Messiaen won the prize he coveted most of all, first prize in composition. Upon graduating in 1930, Messiaen was appointed organist at La Trinité in Paris, a post he held for 40 years until 1970. In 1936, at the age of 28, he joined the faculty of the École Normale de Musique in Paris. 3 years later, in 1939, at the age of 31, Messiaen joined the French army as a medical orderly after Germany invaded Poland and France subsequently declared war on Germany. Joining the French army in 1939 was the right thing to do, the patriotic thing to do, but as it turned out, it was like buying stock in Lehman Brothers on the morning of September 15th, 2008, a few hours before its sudden bankruptcy. It was not the smart thing to do. The Battle of France, better called the Fall of France, lasted all of 6 weeks. Nazi Germany invaded France on May 10th, 1940. France's surrender, signed on June 22nd, 1940, went into effect on June 25th. Messiaen was taken prisoner in May of 1940. He spent the next 2 years in Stalag 8A in Gorlitz in Silesia. It was there, as a prisoner of war at Stalag 8A, that Messiaen composed his quartet for the End of Time for clarinet, violin, cello, and piano. Messiaen dedicated the quartet, quote, in homage to the angel of the apocalypse, who raises his hand towards heaven, saying, there shall be no more time, unquote. It was first performed at the camp on January 15, 1941, in an unheated space in Barrack 27. Messiaen was freed and repatriated in 1942. He returned to Paris, where he was appointed professor of harmony at the Paris Conservatory. On top of his duties at the conservatory, he began teaching private composition classes in 1943 at the home of a friend named Guy Delapierre. Among the students who attended these private classes was the pianist Yvonne Loriod, who would eventually become Messiaen's wife and who would play a pivotal role in the creation of the Tarangalila Symphony, and a young Pierre Boulez, who today would make just about everybody's shortlist of most important musicians and most irksome pills of the 20th and early 21st centuries. On April 1, 1945, roughly 8 months after the liberation of Paris and a month before the end of the war in Europe, Messiaen, still working in relative obscurity, premiered a work for orchestra and chorus entitled Three Small Liturgies of the Divine Presence. Well, so much for relative obscurity. The piece unleashed a veritable storm of controversy. According to Messiaen's biographer, Robert Sherlaw Johnson, quote, overnight, Messiaen was condemned, on one hand, for his vulgarity and lack of good taste, and praised, on the other, for having a vivid imagination and true genius. The work was disliked by the avant-garde for what they regarded as his reactionary tonal harmonies, and it shocked the conservatives because of its peculiar dissonances, which by this time had become a feature of Messiaen's style. The non-Christian was out of sympathy with the religious sentiments expressed, while the traditional Catholic was displeased by the apparently vulgar treatment of sacred ideas. Unquote. Messiaen emerged from this merde storm smelling like Chanel No. 5. You see, controversy attracts attention, and in those days immediately following the war, the Western musical establishment was desperate to find new talent and new music that could represent the new reality of the post-war world. And so, pretty much out of the blue, the not-quite 37-year-old Olivier Messiaen received the commission, a dream commission, that would establish his international career. Here's what happened. A short time after the premiere of Three Small Liturgies of the Divine Presence, Serge Koussevitzky, conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, the same Serge Koussevitzky who commissioned important early symphonies from Aaron Copland, Roy Harris, and William Schumann, among many, many others, who founded the Tanglewood Festival, created the Koussevitzky Foundation, and took on the young and brash Leonard Bernstein as his assistant and gave him the break that made his career, this Serge Koussevitzky contacted this Olivier Messiaen and made him an offer he could not possibly refuse. The offer? A carte blanche commission to write a symphony for the Boston Symphony Orchestra of any length, using any instrumentation he pleased, to be delivered whenever he finished it, no deadline. Oh, talk about a dream gig. I'm still waiting. It was a spectacular opportunity, a commission to which Messiaen dedicated over 2 years of his life, from 1946 to 1948. Never having written a symphony, never having even considered writing a symphony, Messiaen wrote a symphony that was a summation of everything he loved and knew and believed in at the time, Eastern religions, and a very personal sort of pantheistic spirituality, Gregorian chant, birdsong, ancient Greek scales, and ancient Hindu rhythmic constructs. The result was a 10-movement, 1 hour and 20-minute symphony scored for large orchestra, piano, an extremely virtuosic piano part. There are portions of the piece that more closely resemble a piano concerto than a symphony, and an early electronic keyboard instrument called an Andes Martenot, so-called because Andes means wave, as in sound wave, and Martenot refers to Maurice Martenot, who invented the instrument in 1928. Messiaen called his sprawling, one-of-a-kind new work the Turangalila Symphony. The word Turangalila is derived from two Sanskrit words, Turanga and Lila. Turanga means time, and by extension, movement and rhythm, activities marked by physical movement that take place in time. Lila means literally play, sport, or amusement. According to Robert Sherlaw Johnson, quote, Lila means play in the sense of divine action of the cosmos, that is, the acts of creation, destruction, reconstruction, and the play of life and death. It can also mean love. Turangalila, therefore, means a song of love, a hymn to joy, time, movement, rhythm, life, and death, unquote. The Turangalila Symphony was premiered by the Boston Symphony Orchestra in Boston on December 2, 1949, under the baton of Serge Koussevitzky's 31-year-old Massachusetts-born protégé, Leonard Bernstein. In his program note for the premiere, Messiaen wrote, quote, The Turangalila Symphony is a hymn to joy, a joy that is superhuman, overflowing, blinding, unlimited. Love is present here in the same manner. This is a love that is fatal, irresistible, transcending everything, suppressing everything outside of itself, a love such as is symbolized by Tristan and Isolde, unquote. For lots more on Messiaen's Turangalila Symphony, I would direct your attention to my great courses teaching company survey, The Symphony, which can be examined and downloaded at robertgreenbergmusic.com. Thank you.